Design for Living, Elder L. Ray L. Christensen, L. Ray L. Christensen, Conference Report, October 1961, pages 9-11. With you, my brothers and sisters, I have been deeply moved by the message of President McKay this morning, so timely, so fitting, so true. He is, indeed, the prophet of God in this day. To this I testify. I know also that God lives, that Jesus is the Christ, and that through the restoration of the gospel he has given a divine plan for living which will help all of us who adhere to it to avoid the pitfalls and the sorrows that will surely come if we depart therefrom. If ever there were a day in the world when the gospel of Jesus Christ is needed, it is today. It is needed to give us fortitude and direction. The gospel is more than something just to talk about. However, it is a design for living, for successful living, for happy living. It calls for deeds, action, and proper conduct on the part of each and all of us. Its principles are not limited to the payment of tithing, the word of wisdom, keeping holy the Sabbath day. They are part of the gospel, of course, and are very important, but the gospel embraces all truth and the application of all virtues. We believe in being honest, true, chaste, benevolent, virtuous, and in doing good to all men. If there is anything virtuous, lovely, or of good report or praiseworthy, we seek after these things. The principles enunciated in that article of faith are designed to help us to become more refined, more reliable, more peaceable, more Christ-like. One of the virtues mentioned is benevolence, which is the disposition to do good, to be kind, to be charitable to others. Among the beautiful principles taught the multitude by Jesus upon the mountain was this: therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. This is often referred to as the Golden Rule. It is another version of the second great commandment: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Laws, rules, regulations are designed to give society a more safe and a more orderly way of living. But it is understandable that even though we have innumerable laws, both civil and ecclesiastical, to direct us, laws cannot be made to cover each specific act or each transaction that we make. For this reason we must develop a conscience attuned to the will of the Lord. We must develop a feeling of obligation to do what is right. We must countenance no subterfuge, no evasiveness, when correct laws are not written to guide us. We must conduct ourselves by correct principles, by high standards of personal ethics. To illustrate, an opportunist, knowing that he was protected by the letter of the law, was led to exploit and take advantage of a widow who was not versed in the law, and by clever maneuvering caused her to lose her property and her savings while technically he was within the law. He was led to do this unjust deed because he was not sensitive to correct principles or the desire to do good. Rather, he was motivated by a desire for personal gain even at the expense of another. In the Bible we read, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. In contrast to the selfish exploitation, consider the report that was given in the Relief Society conference held earlier this week. With the desire to do good, 224,000 hours were spent in compassionate service, 775,000 hours spent by these sisters in welfare service, doing good unto their neighbors. True greatness and integrity are found together in men. Great minds are motivated by self-sacrifice, not by self-seeking. Strong men have the moral courage to choose the right above economic advantage, even though it may be within the letter of the law for them to do otherwise. Comma, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Now, to what degree is this principle being applied in your life and in mine? Do we take all that we can get for a commodity or for a service, or do we accept a reasonable and fair return? When I was a youth, I was greatly impressed by the honor and fairness of a man in the community who offered for sale his hay at a certain price a ton. When others told him that because of scarcity he could obtain a higher price for the hay, he replied, I know, but if I were buying the hay I would not want to pay more than the price I have set, so why should I require my neighbor to pay more? True religion is the activated love of God and of neighbor. It is based on good deeds, not good intentions, not merely good words. The article of faith that I have referred to states, we believe in being true, which means that we are true to a trust, we can be relied upon, we are upright in our dealings. Some years ago I arranged with a fine man to purchase a building lot in Logan. It was a choice lot in a choice place, the only lot left in the area. The price was agreed upon, and I offered some earnest money, so-called, to bind the agreement until the deed was prepared. But the owner said, in my dealings, I never require down payments. You can pay me when the deed is ready. During the time he was preparing the papers, he received two or three other offers at a price considerably higher. He could have sold at a higher price, but he did not. That is what we agreed upon, he said. His word was as good as his bond. Dr. James E. Talmage has reminded us in his writings, religion without morality, professions of godliness without charity, church membership without adequate responsibility as to honorable individual conduct in daily life, are but as sounding brass and tinkling cymbals, noise without music, the words without the spirit of prayer. One does not truly love the Lord unless he lives according to the moral principles that he has given us. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. That is a grand principle, so simple, so just. Now, if I wish to help make this a better world, I should begin by improving myself. As someone said, "Oh, Lord, reform the world, beginning with me." If this principle were practiced in our homes, love, respect, unselfishness would abound. If this principle were practiced in our communities, robberies, assaults, and even many traffic accidents would be avoided. If this principle were practiced by mankind generally, the dangers threatening us would vanish, wickedness would ultimately cease, waste of public funds would be eliminated, strikes would be unnecessary, peace would prevail. Even though revolutionary changes are taking place all over the world, even in our own land, we must remember that God has not changed. Virtue, honesty, trust, a desire to do good, a desire to be helpful are still basic and indispensable principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the first section of the Doctrine and Covenants, we are told that the Lord shall come to recompense unto every man according to his work, and measure to every man according to the measure which he has measured to his fellow man. Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. In the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.